Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever made a discovery before? Maybe you found a really cool rock or shell while visiting a nearby beach. Or maybe you've stumbled across a special place in nature near your house, perfect for building a fort. When we find new things or places, we often feel a sense of wonder and gratitude for the special discovery. Today's guest knows all about the wonder of discovery and the thrill of finding something new.
For an archaeologist, there's nothing that beats the moment of discovery, real new knowledge that nobody knows about, something that nobody has seen before, and it's happened to me a number of times in my life.
This is Menson Bound. He's an archaeologist, which means that he studies old places and objects to find out more about people who lived long ago. Specifically, Menson works on underwater excavations, where he finds sunken ships full of historical treasures and connections to the past.
To me, when I'm working on ancient shipwrecks or other shipwrecks, and you have moments that put you in contact with an individual, I never feel that these people are, so to speak, fossils or anything like that at all. They are living, breathing people with whom I share a common humanity.
As Menson searches for and explores sunken ships, he's able to learn more about the people who lived on these ships long ago. Over time, Menson has been involved in the excavation of 40 different ships. It all began when he was a student studying archaeology, working on a sunken ship called the Mary Rose.
We met the man who found the wreck of the Mary Rose, and one day we went to meet him at his house. And in the course of that discussion, he took me into his writer's studio, and it was a small room which was completely booked on all sides. But the top shelf up near the ceiling, there were no books, just little bits and pieces of things he'd found in a career underwater as a diver, just bits and pieces of broken mementos, things like that, that meant nothing to anybody except to him. But there was one piece there that caught my eye. And so I said to him, where did that piece come from? And he paused and he said, Menson, of all the pieces up there, why did you select that one? And so I told him. I told him that it was Etruscan. I told him that it dated to more or less 600 BC. I said that I could see that it came from an underwater context because it was covered in marine deposits. And I said that if that came from a shipwreck, that would make it the oldest, let's say, post-Bronze Age ship ever to be discovered. And therefore, you know, it would be of potentially outstanding archaeological significance.
Of all the trinkets this man had collected, Menson had noticed one that he believed could lead to an important discovery.
He proceeded to tell me this incredible story about how 20 years before, he'd been on this tiny island called Giglio, which is off the coast of Tuscany, North Italy. And he'd been there at a dive school belonging to a man called Reg Valentine. And he's told me the story about how Reg found this wreck off an offshore reef in a bay called Campesi Bay on Giglio. And he said it was one of the most remarkable sights he had ever seen.
Menson was impressed by the story and wanted to have a chance to explore the site himself.
So I went to meet Reg Valentine at his house in London, and he was very suspicious at first, in the way that divers are. You know, if they find wrecks, they tend to keep them close to their chests. But then he went upstairs and he came down with about four or five old photographs, just snapshots taken in 1961 on the boat he was using at that time. And it just showed divers sitting around on the boat, holding bits and pieces of pottery, a bit like trophies. But at that moment, I knew that I'd blundered into something of outstanding archaeological importance. And it all went from there. And I spent the next 4 years of my life excavating this incredible shipwreck. And these days, if you want to see the material from the Giglio ship, then you go to the National Underwater Museum of Italy, which is in a place called Porto Santo Stefano, and the entire top floor is nothing but artifacts from the Giglio ship.
Wow! Menson was able to fill an entire floor of a museum with his discoveries from the Giglio ship. After finding and excavating the shipwreck, Menson continued to make a name for himself as an undersea archaeologist. For years, he explored shipwreck after shipwreck until he was ready to search for one particular ship with an incredible history, the Endurance. The Endurance was a ship that belonged to a brave explorer named Ernest Shackleton. Over 100 years ago, Shackleton wanted to be the first explorer to cross Antarctica, so he and his crew set off on a dangerous expedition. The Endurance ended up getting stuck in the ice. As the water froze around the Endurance, she sunk into the water, leaving Shackleton and his crew stranded in freezing Antarctica. Despite the disastrous circumstances, Shackleton was able to bravely lead his crew to safety. They overcame challenge after challenge, and miraculously, every single member of his crew survived.
It's a story that needs to be told to every generation. It's about determination to succeed. It's about courage. It's about leadership. All those great qualities, which he had in spades. And I think that's part of the importance about being able to tell us the whole Shackleton story, but we're also using that story to reach the young. We're trying to inspire another generation using Shackleton, but inspire them in such a way that not necessarily to go out and be adventurers and explorers, although that as well, but trying to point them in the way of doing science. The next generation of scientists are vital for the survival of our planet.
So in memory of Shackleton and the excellent leadership and courage he stood for, Menson began an expedition to find Shackleton's ship, the Endurance. This was a tricky task because even though Shackleton and his crew kept excellent diaries of their experiences, Menson had no idea where exactly the Endurance sank into the waves. In 2019, Menson and a crew of explorers, scientists, and archaeologists took a ship to Antarctica to begin looking for the Endurance using sonar to scan the deep ocean for the wreck. This expedition didn't end well.
So the first expedition to find the Endurance had ended in complete failure. We lost our search vehicle. The ice closed on us. The weather came down on us, and everything just went terribly wrong, and we had to get out of the pack quickly because otherwise we would have been frozen in there for the rest of the season.
It turns out Menson and his crew faced a lot of the same challenges Shackleton faced. As the weather grew colder and colder, the ocean around the ship started to freeze, threatening to trap the ship in the ice. That's what happened to the Endurance. It was trapped and crushed by the ice, causing it to sink into the ocean. Thankfully, the modern explorers were able to avoid being trapped, though some of their equipment was damaged by the bad weather. Once Menson returned home safely, he immediately began planning another expedition to find the Endurance. In 2022, Menson and the crew went back out to Antarctica, but they continued to deal with a lot of challenges.
Things seemed to be following pretty much what happened during the first season. We had come through a period of really terrible, terrible weather. The ice was getting aggressive. It was snarling around us. The pressure was building. We felt like, you know, we were within the coils of a boa constrictor or something like that. And the weather had just become dangerous. The temperatures had dropped to minus 45 degrees centigrade, not Fahrenheit, centigrade. So, you know, the wind chill chapter was taking it down to minus 50. And that is serious. Dangerous stuff. I mean, it popped the fillings in my teeth, a water bottle in my coat pocket, that froze solid. We had guys on board whose eyelids were frozen closed. It was that dangerous. The ship was struggling. There was no doubt about it. The captain had said, we can't go on much longer. You know, we're into the end game. And, you know, I thought, okay, this is it. You know, it's back to England, beaten twice, and I knew that my career would be over because nobody gives anybody a third chance in maritime archaeology.
Just as it seemed like it was time to give up, the crew caught a lucky break. 2 days of good weather.
Everything just changed. It was really quite remarkable. But we knew from the meteorologists on board that when we got through this two-day period, that the weather was going to come back and absolutely whack us. And we knew when that happened because the captain told us that it would be over.
So the ship's sonar continued to scan the water for the Endurance. Taking advantage of the good weather, Menson decided that he would take some time to walk out on the ice with his friend John Shears.
The weather was so beautiful. He and I had been talking for several days that if we got a chance, we'd get out on the ice together. We layered up and we got lowered on the ice and we set off for the iceberg.
After a pleasant walk, Menson and John headed back to the ship where something incredibly exciting was waiting for them.
And then when I got back on board with John, he and I started to take off our polar kit.
In Britain, the word kit can mean uniform or equipment.
I don't know about John, but I was absolutely frozen. All I could think about was getting to a heater and getting some warm fluid in me. And this young lad from the bridge, a cadet, suddenly appeared at my shoulder. And he said to me, Captain Bengo, Captain Knowledge Bengo was the man in charge of the ship. Captain Bengo asked me to convey his respects and to say that your presence is required on the bridge immediately. And at that moment, the tannoy system on the ship just crackled to life. And it was Shears and bound and Shears, to the bridge immediately, to the bridge immediately. And John and I looked at each other and, you know, we had no idea what was going on. But, you know, we'd never been spoken to like that before in our lives. But, you know, we realized something major had happened and we started dashing for the bridge.
The bridge of the ship is the command area where the captain and all the navigation experts are located. As he ran to the bridge to see the ship's captain, Menson was scared.
I had this terrible feeling that maybe, just maybe, we'd lost the vehicle, because that's what had happened 3 years before in the first search. And when you lose 10 million pounds worth of kit, I mean, it really is a terrible, terrible moment. But then, as we're heading the bridge, I happened to catch at the corner of my eye one of the French data analysts, and he's standing in the doorway and he's smiling. And you know that if you just lost your main search vehicle, that you're not smiling, but he was smiling. So at that moment, I'm thinking to myself, dare I think it? Dare I believe it? Could it be? And then we pour out onto the bridge. We tumble out. And a guy called Nico Vincent, who to my mind is the hero of the season, he's an amazing French underwater engineer. He was standing at the console with the captain, Knowledge Bengo, and he strides up to me and he thrusts his iPhone into my face. And on the iPhone, there was this amazing image. And he says to John and I, he said, gents, let me introduce you to the Endurance. And at that moment, everything just kind of exploded in this sunburst of just pure euphoria. A good friend of mine called Freddie Ligthel, he came striding across the bridge and he said to me, the quest is over. How do you feel? And I said to him, Freddie, I feel the breath of Shackleton himself on the back of my neck.
They did it. They found the Endurance. After a lot of celebration, Menson and the crew were able to begin examining the ship.
We actually go down and look at the ship in real time through cameras. There was just four of us in the control booth at the time. Going along the seabed, we're approaching the wreck, and all we can see is just shadows and blackness. And the lights sort of like illuminating the seabed immediately before us. And then suddenly, there is the stern of the ship. And across the stern of the ship is the word Endurance, picked out in capital letters in raised metal. And I'm looking at this and the hairs on the back of my neck are just up on end. And then it gets better. We come up and we go over the taffrail. That's the rail at the very back of the counter stern of the ship. And I'm looking at the ship's wheel. You know, the ship's wheel, the most emblematic part of a ship that you can think of. And I'm looking at it, it's in absolutely perfect state.
As he gazed at the Endurance through the camera, Menson was like a kid in a candy shop. He was so excited.
And I'm looking down these stairs, down into the ship, and there's a whole lot of pigeonholes above the stairway, which is where they kept all the signal flags, which they'd hoist up the gaff on the mizzenmast at the back of the ship. And then, beside it, there are two portholes, and I know from my research exactly what those two portholes mean. Those two portholes Shackleton's cabin. I'm looking at Shackleton's cabin. As an archaeologist, you're supposed to be able to exercise a certain amount of, let's say, professional detachment between you and the object of your study. But at that moment, forget it. You know, I'm just excited as a little kid, and you know, as everybody else on the ship was at that time.
Finding the Endurance was a historic moment for archaeology and for Shackleton fans everywhere. For Menson personally, it was a special moment of wonder in an amazing career of archaeology.
I've looked at ships of all types and periods all over the world. You know, I've found great works of art in the South China Sea. I've excavated East Indiamen in the Straits of Malacca. I've seen treasure ships in the Caribbean, ships from 600 BC in the deepest Mediterranean. You know, I've seen great American square riggers in deep water off the Falkland Islands. I've found German cruisers which were sunk in battle, World War I, but nothing, I tell you, compares with finding the Endurance.
Menson Bound's story of finding the Endurance is full of wonder and the excitement we feel in the moment of discovery. You can feel wonder too, as you have your own expeditions in the natural world. So get outside and get learning. What will you discover next?
The Endurance belonged to Shackleton's crew until she sank into the ocean blue. An archaeologist solved the mystery and made the famous Endurance discovery.
A quick word for you parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, which is the source of material for Constant Wonder Kids. We made this episode because Constant Wonder contains a lot of great stuff kids will love too, but you may be wanting more. We've got a whole episode devoted to Menson Bound and his expedition to find the sunken Endurance. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. It's called A Real Life Indiana Jones Discovers Shackleton's Lost Ship. We actually think that you'll love more than just one episode of our podcast, which is an ongoing quest to find awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild, vast or small. The kinds of encounters that move us beyond words. Remember when you had time for wonder? Well, we suspect you still do. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.